Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 59 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
And I might be alleviating some of the traffic. We're stuck in traffic for at least 6 minutes sometimes.
Candidates agreed and disagreed during last night's forum in Moorhead.
Moorhead State University is launching a new scholarship campaign.
A Moorhead restaurant is preparing to feed the former vice president.
Mitch McConnell was in Pikeville yesterday.
Ashland police are investigating a murder.
In sports, Rowan County's volleyball team is gearing up for state tournament action.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with a low around 31 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Candidates for Judge Executive appeared at the Rowan County Candidate Forum last night at the Moorhead Conference Center. The seat is currently held by Walter Blevins, who chose not to run for re-election this term. Democrat Harry Clark and Republican Don Hall are running for the seat. When asked if he would continue to employ a deputy judge executive or office staff if elected, Clark said his experience would allow him to perform the role without the additional cost.
Judge executives must by law appoint a deputy in the event of their absence, but this can be anyone on the staff. By law, the magistrates are the governing body of the judges in the judge's absence. As for meetings outside the office, more utilization of magistrates that are familiar with county business can be utilized if necessary. I will be a full-time judge executive with an unquestionable work ethic.
Hall says he sees the value of having a deputy judge executive.
If we miss a grant because we're not there to get our part of the money, then that $60,000 would seem pretty small. So probably I will have a deputy judge executive. We've had deputies. Our current judge has got a deputy, a judge prior to him, and then one before that. So we've had deputy judges, and almost every other county office holder has assistants and deputies on their payroll.
Both candidates agreed that they want to see the results of a feasibility study before they weigh in on a community partnership with Moorhead State University to use the Laughlin Health Building as a recreation center. Election day is November 6th.
While most questions came from the panel, Moorhead's mayoral candidates also got the chance to ask each other a question during last night's Rowan County Candidate Forum. Mayor Jim Tom Trent started off the bit, wondering if his opponent Laura White-Brown had seen any good to come out of his administration. White-Brown used the new splash pad as an example of how a good concept can go awry.
I'm not saying that the splash pad is a bad idea. I will not say that. But what I will say is a project that in February of this year was said to be $600,000 and is now over $1 million, not including the cost of the property, just to clarify that. We are invested way over our head. The project was not managed well.
In her rebuttal, White-Brown asked Trent why he felt justified in using taxpayer money to organize a personal campaign event on August 31st. Trent says that wasn't the case.
I have a contract where I paid for the use of the room, plus paid for one man to set up. He was the only one out there. I made sure he was paid, and that was taken through the city attorney. It was approved by our Planning Commission office that takes care of that, as well as our Public Works Director. So, unfortunately, that's all that information's incorrect.
To hear the full audio from the Rowan County Candidate Forum, visit our website at wmky.org.
Moorhead State University officials announced Friday that the university is launching a $15 million fundraising campaign over the next 3 years to expand scholarship opportunities for students. The campaign, branded as the Soar to New Heights Scholarship Campaign, was announced to hundreds of alumni and members of the MSU community at a ceremony dedicating the Elmer R. Smith College of Business and Technology and the ribbon-cutting ceremony reopening the Adrian Dorn University Center after 2 years of significant renovations and expansion. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan says currently more than 90% of the student body receives financial aid.
And are critical to meet the needs of Eagles so they don't have to leave here with high debt loads like so many oftentimes do in higher education.
For more information about the campaign, visit moorheadstate.edu/soarcampaign.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was in eastern Kentucky yesterday. The senator made a stop in Pikeville, according to EKB-TV. He discussed the steps Congress is taking to combat the opioid and substance abuse epidemic. Senator McConnell discussed his bill, the Protecting Mom and Infants Act.
The other measure I included in this new law is the Protecting Moms and Infants Act. In 2015, I sponsored the first federal law to address parental opioid exposure, prenatal opioid exposure, directing federal agencies to develop strategies in response to the tragic increase of babies born from mothers abusing drugs.
President Donald Trump signed the bill earlier this afternoon.
A Pikeville mother and her daughter are assisting with Hurricane Florence relief in North and South Carolina. Kelly Wright and her mother Sheila have been assisting their community in the 6 weeks following Hurricane Florence. Sheila tells EKB-TV the community is in a position where they have no choice but to help themselves.
So every day you get up and you want to do something and you know what the need is and the funds are just not there because the media doesn't know about it. You know, we're old news now. So we need new news because we're still there every day struggling.
The two have set up a GoFundMe page for disaster relief called Hurricane Florence Flood Relief. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Ashland police are investigating an attempted murder. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has the story.
Several police officers responded to a call at approximately 10:52 a.m. Tuesday morning from a deputy with the Boyd County Sheriff's Office. The officer was initially dispatched to Barbecue Road in Catlettsburg for a domestic disturbance between Casey Watkins and his mother, Tammy Watkins, both of Catlettsburg. When the officer arrived, Watkins shot his mother in the abdomen and then began to fire at the deputy. The deputy tried to fire back, but the suspect was able to get away. When the other officers arrived at the scene, Watkins was spotted along the wood line near a neighboring residence. No officers were harmed in the incident. Watkins has been charged with attempted murder. Officials say other charges are pending following a review of the investigation. For WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Leslie County jailer Danny Clark says escaped inmate Joshua New has been arrested in McCreary County. Clark tells WYMT News is from McCreary County and was allegedly trying to pay people to take him back there. New escaped from work release while trimming trees along Kentucky 7 in Perry County near the Letcher County line. Several people reported seeing him and told police he offered them thousands of dollars to drive him back to his home. Clark says New only had 1 month left on his sentence, but will now likely face more charges. He was transported back to the Leslie County Detention Center.
A Mount Sterling man is facing additional charges for intimidating a participant in a legal process. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
The 7-year-old Ronald Triplett, already charged with rape, sodomy, and kidnapping, was indicted on the second charge last week. Triplett was once included on the FBI's most wanted list after he allegedly escaped prison in Michigan in the 1980s, where he was being held on robbery and attempted murder charges. According to the Mount Sterling Advocate, the indictment alleges on September 12th, Triplett wrote a harassing and intimidating message on the wall of the Montgomery County Jail to a victim in a pending case who serves as a jail trustee. Triplett was previously charged with the same crime in the jail recreation yard with the same individual. Jail authorities say Triplett's recreation time has been decreased and he will be observed at all times while in the recreation yard. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
Police have identified the man who died in a workplace accident at the UPS facility in Lexington. According to WKYT, 43-year-old Anthony Shinnick died yesterday following an accident at the Mercer Road UPS distribution hub. Investigators say he was conducting maintenance when the accident occurred. An autopsy is scheduled to be completed today at the State Medical Examiner's Office in Frankfort.
According to a new survey, more than two-thirds of Kentuckians think credit theft is unavoidable. The report by AARP Kentucky shows that 73% of people surveyed failed a new digital identity quiz. The survey also found that just about half of adults have experienced fraudulent charges on a credit or debit card, yet very few have ordered a security freeze on their credit reports. Deborah Turner is with AARP Kentucky.
There are a lot of people in Kentucky who have not set up their banking and financial information so that it can be monitored. They want to wait for the hard copy reports that come out, which may be too late to actually stop the access of money.
Ordering a security freeze with credit reporting bureaus is now free because of legislation passed by Congress this year.
Work will resume this week on a section of Kentucky 168 along Catlett's Creek in Boyd County. The project to correct road slip repairs began earlier this month and was expected to be finished by now, but some inclement weather caused the work to be delayed. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says it's kind of fitting since that's what caused the damage in the first place.
That area had been damaged back in the earlier part of the year during some flooding issues that we saw, and we worked to get some funding for that in place, and we started the repair back in the early part of the month. It has seen some weather delays, and so we're going to work on it for about another week before we can reopen that road.
Until 168 can be safely reopened, it will be closed to all traffic at the work site between Twin Fork and Barbecue Road. Blair believes the work will take until at least Friday to complete.
A strain of salmonella has the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention making a strange request this year. The CDC is asking people to refrain from dressing up their chickens this year. At least 92 people in 29 states have been infected with a strain of multi-drug-resistant salmonella after coming into contact with a variety of raw chicken products. 21 of the sick patients have been hospitalized, though no deaths have been reported. The agency warned people could be infected by handling live chickens. When dressing a chicken up, whether in a Halloween costume or a sweater, it is easier for a person to come into contact with harmful bacteria that lives on poultry, including salmonella. The CDC also says it's important to wash your hands with soap and water right after touching live poultry or coming into contact with anything in the places where they live and roam. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the week, tonight mostly clear with a low around 31 degrees. Tomorrow partly sunny with a high near 54. Tomorrow night a 60% chance of showers mainly after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Friday, an 80% chance of rain with a high near 52 degrees. And Friday night, an 80% chance of showers mainly before 3 a.m. with a low around 43 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 57 degrees in Flemingsburg, 57 degrees in Maysville, 60 degrees in Ashland, 58 degrees in Grayson, 58 degrees in Inez, 57 degrees in Mount Sterling, 57 degrees in Lexington, and 59 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a World War II era American cultural icon is coming to Morehead this weekend. WMKY's Joe Lewis has the story.
Rosie the Riveter is one of the enduring images from World War II. She represented the idea that Americans from all backgrounds were contributing to the war effort, helping build combat machinery for American overseas forces. As part of the Chautauqua series, the character will be brought to life by remembering Kentucky's own Rosie the Riveter, Rose Lay from Science Hill. The event is sponsored by the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra. CRSO President Dr. Yule Scott talks about the event.
It's a really nice insight into history. It's entertaining. The board of the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society, which runs the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra, felt that would be a nice cultural addition to the community and a way for the society to spread the name of the CRSO around as well.
Lay will be portrayed by actress and MSU graduate Kelly Bringelman.
Rose was an actual Rosie the Riveter, and Rosie the Riveter is actually a fictional character. And a lot of times people are like, well, I don't understand. Rosie the Riveter, she's fictional. But there are several women who can actually lay claim to being a real Rosie the Riveter. But she was from Scienceville, Kentucky. She was in Pulaski County. And she just had a very unique story to tell. And it's set in World War II. And it's, once again, it puts Kentucky on the map.
Bringelman talks about what audiences can expect from the show on Sunday.
Chautauqua is all about entertaining people through history and drama. So you're going to get a double punch. You are going to be entertained because it is definitely an acting presentation. It's not a speech. It is portraying, it's like a one-person show, okay? I have no other actors with me, but I am fully dressed in period costume. I have period-appropriate props. And the audience, they're a part of the show.
Bringelman graduated from Morehead State in 1991, but she didn't major in acting.
I had a full speech and drama scholarship, and ironically, I did not have to major in either speech or drama in order to have that scholarship. So I knew full and well, you don't need a degree to become an actor. So I thought, well, I'm going to get as much bang out of my buck at MSU as I can. So I decided to major in journalism. And back then, you could have an emphasis in advertising and public relations. So I took that emphasis in journalism.
She spent 15 years working in public relations and marketing before deciding to step back into acting. She has portrayed a number of Chautauqua characters in recent years, and in this year's series also plays the role of Madeline McDowell Breckenridge, a key figure in the women's suffrage movement. Scott says the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra plans to bring more Chautauqua performances to the area.
We have two of these planned. Rosie the Riveter will be the first one on October the 28th. The second one will be Jemima Boone, who was the daughter of Daniel Boone, and she was captured by Indians and then was rescued. She'll show some insight on how it was really like to live back in those times.
Audiences can see Bringelman's performance of Rosie the Riveter on Sunday, October 28th at 3 p.m. at the Morehead Conference Center. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
It's 448 and 59 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Morehead and Mount Sterling, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
The Volleyball Vikings are heading to the state tournament. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Colton Johnson. For the second year in a row, the Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team is heading to the state tournament. The Vikings finished out the season with a 27-12 record, taking home the regional title over Boyd County last week. Head coach Steve Walders says while his team was on everybody's radar last year, that wasn't exactly the case this season.
This year, while the coaching staff kind of felt that we had the talent, most of the publications and region stuff like that, had some real doubts about us because we were replacing so many seniors. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that we kind of had an idea that we had the talent for it, but I think to most everybody else it was a little bit unexpected. So that kind of makes it a little sweeter.
The 2018 High School Volleyball State Tournament gets underway at Valley High School this Friday. The Vikings are slated with a matchup with Greenwood at 2 o'clock. The Morehead State men's basketball team is raring to get the 2018-19 season underway. The Eagles will get their first taste of outside competition tomorrow night when they host Berea for an exhibition game. The Eagles return all five starters this season, and head coach Preston Spradlin says that has him feeling pretty good.
we didn't always know what we had last year and figuring out roles and what guys were capable of doing, what their strengths were. And so 1 year into that, we've got a much better feel for our players. And so for me, it makes me a lot more comfortable, makes me a lot more confident to walk out each day, teach something new with the confidence that they're going to retain it, they're going to be able to go out and execute it. You know, you put in a new play for a guy, and just letting them play free and loose and play confidently.
Tip-off tomorrow evening is set for 6:05 in LST Johnson Arena. Morehead State men's basketball senior forward LaMontre Harris has been named a member of the official 12-man preseason All-OVC team. Harris, a 6'7" athlete from Louisville, finished the 2017-18 season with averages of 11 points and 6.8 rebounds per outing. He also led the team at the free throw line, hitting 86% of his free tosses. Harris says it can be hard being one of the old guys on the roster, but it's a great opportunity to help the team grow.
Man, it's tough at times, but you know, just being there for the young guys, just going based off my experience and what I've seen so far, you know, just kind of guiding everybody in the right direction. Last year all around was a learning lesson, I would say. You know, we had to hit rock bottom in order for us to understand and grow as a team and really value winning and know what it takes to do to win.
Harris has scored almost 670 points during his 3 years as an Eagle, with 281 coming from his sophomore season. For the second consecutive season, Morehead State women's basketball senior Miranda Crockett has been chosen as a member of the preseason All-OVC team. Crockett has scored over 1,000 points and played over 3,000 minutes while starting in 92 of 93 games during her first 3 seasons as an Eagle. She says it's an honor to be recognized for her efforts.
I mean, it means a lot to me. I think it shows just how I've been recognized for all the hard work I've put in. I think over the years I've really worked hard with my teammates, and they've helped me to just become the player I am today. And I just really appreciate it. It feels good.
Crockett and the Eagles kick off their 2018-19 season on the road at North Carolina A&T on November 9th. The first home game is scheduled for November 16th against Valparaiso at 6:35 as part of the Vinewood Farm Classic at Johnson Arena. The Cincinnati Bengals are coming down off a 45-10 loss Sunday at the hands of the Chiefs. The Bengals are preparing this week to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cincy is now on a 2-game losing streak, sitting at 4-3 and number 1 in the AFC North. Cincy QB Andy Dalton says the thing his team has to do going into Sunday's matchup is really put the past behind them and move on from a tough loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the first thing that you do. You watch it, you learn from it, then you move on. You know, this game's important for us, and we want to end the first half of the season the right way. And so, I mean, I think we've done a good job of just moving past it.
Dalton has thrown for 1,822 yards this season, scoring 15 touchdowns, and has thrown for 8 interceptions. The Bucs are 7-4 lifetime against Cincinnati, with the Bengals coming away victorious in 2014, 89, 83, and 76. Kickoff Sunday is set for 1 p.m. Tomorrow night, week 8 of regular season NFL action, the halfway point of the season kicks off as the Texans take on the Dolphins at 8:20 in Houston. Both teams are currently 4-3 going into tonight's matchup. The Dolphins have allowed almost 416 yards and an average of 25.3 points a game in total this season, compared to the Texans' 349 and 20.6 points allowed. The Dolphins are also contending without D-end Charles Harris and wide receiver Albert Wilson. The Texans are currently on a 4-game winning streak, and the Dolphins are coming fresh off a 32-21 loss to the Lions. The Texans are 7-1 lifetime when playing the Dolphins. Baker Mayfield's head snapped back violently from a nasty hit. The officials on the field didn't think it was illegal, but the NFL feels otherwise. According to the Associated Press, Tampa Bay safety Jordan Whitehead is expected to be fined for his helmet-to-helmet hit on Mayfield during Sunday's game. Whitehead struck Mayfield in the fourth quarter of the Buccaneers' 26-23 overtime win as Mayfield was starting to slide at the end of a 35-yard scramble. NFL fines are typically announced on Saturday. From the SEC, number 9 Florida has made more offensive improvements in the last 9 months than it did in the previous 9 years. The Gators have a chance to take another step in their rebuild Saturday against arch-rival and 7th-ranked Georgia. It would continue a year-long turnaround that started after former coach Jim McElwain said players and families had received death threats. And lastly in sports, Game 2 of the Major League World Series gets underway this evening. Right now, the Red Sox are leading the series after picking up the win in Game 1 over the Dodgers last night. Boston manager Alex Cora tells Reds.com he was extremely pleased with Eduardo Nunez's performance when he came off the bench and hit a two-out, three-run homer.
And he's been great. He wasn't 100% throughout the season. He struggled defensively, we know that at second, but he always had a positive attitude, and he's one of the leaders in the clubhouse. And for him to show up today and put a big swing, that's his first World Series swing, it's very gratifying to see him do that.
Tonight's game tips off at 8:09 at Fenway Park. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football host Marist at 1:05 p.m. on Saturday. Men's basketball welcomes Berea for an exhibition game at 6 p.m. on Thursday. And women's basketball plays Shawnee State at 6:05 p.m. on Monday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks plummeted as a sharp drop in tech shares and worries about corporate earnings added fuel to this month's steep pullback. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 608.01 at 24,583.42. The S&P 500 was down 84.59 at 2656.1, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 329.14 at 7108.40. The S&P and the Dow are now down for the year-to-date, and with today's drop, the NASDAQ has officially entered correction territory. And stocks have taken a beating for the whole month, with the Dow dropping 7.1% in October, and the S&P 500 having pulled back 8.9%, and the NASDAQ has tumbled 11.7%. Netflix was down almost 10% as investors second-guessed valuations for this once high-flying video streamer. Facebook and Alphabet both fell more than 5%, while Apple dropped 3.4%. AT&T dropped just over 8% after releasing its quarterly results. And worries about a slowing economy under pressure from rising interest rates grew after the Commerce Department said new home sales fell to a two-year low. The data also hit home builder stocks. The Spider S&P Home Builders ETF dropped 3.5%. Bank shares fell on fears of slowing growth for mortgages and other loans. The S&P or the Spider S&P Bank ETF dropped 4.1%. Earlier in the session, the Dow rose more than 100 points on the back of better-than-expected results from Boeing. The aerospace giant also raised its full-year guidance on earnings and sales. The report sent the stock up more than 1%. And in the commodities markets today, oil was down 0.25% at $66.26 a barrel. Gold was down 0.125% at $1,235.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down slightly. The Stock 600 index finished with a loss of 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were actually mostly up today. The Nikkei was up 0.38%, and the Shanghai Composite was up 0.33%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Procter & Gamble and Boeing, while the worst performers were United Technologies and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Varian Medical Systems and DTE Energy, while the worst performers were DXC Technology and Robert Half International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 222 at 72.52, CSX down 91 cents at 65.91, AK Steel down 32 cents at 4.14, Marathon Petroleum down 406 at 68.03, AEP up 206 at 75.50, and Fifth Third Bank was down $1.03 at 24.97. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Shawmarie Mosley, Ryan Courtney, Kenzie Thompson, Haley Stidham, Logan Pemberton, Jack Cottle, Naya Andweza, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Joe Lewis. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.